you what you need to know about insurance in a way that you can understand it. Because I know what you don't know about insurance, and I know what you need to know. Hey, I got something new for you today. There's a lot of talk about pivoting and going and selling other products if you are in the industry. And I have a free resource for you that will help you sell commercial insurance. So if you're just getting your foot in the door or you need a little shot in the arm, I pulled something out of my master program to teach you how to sell workers' comp. And it's a real quick 101. Workers' comp is one of the easiest products to sell, and it's a gateway to the rest of the account. So if you text me 208-213-8809 and you text me commercial, I will send you this free resource. All right. 208-213-8809. Get in. All right. So today I have something a little different for you. I have my friend on, Dustin Lemick, who is the founder and CEO of Brightco. And we talk jewelry insurance shop for a while. This is a great deep dive episode for you to really learn more than 99% of what people know about jewelry insurance. So I like the style of this. We kind of ask we ask each other questions back and forth. So it's kind of a nice flowing conversation. It's just not me hurling questions at himself. So it's a great conversation, and I welcome you to listen to it. Final note, I was recording off of the wrong microphone for the first about 20 minutes of this, so I apologize for the tin can sound for me, but it does kick in about halfway through, and then you'll get this nice, warm, you know, proper recording. So with that being said, let's get on with the conversation. So, hey, what's up? My name's Matt Dietz. I am a 19-year agency owner, and I have been doing this podcast now for, right, I'm going to start over. Let me scratch that. Okay. My name is Matt Dietz. I've been an agency owner since 2004. Like, I like insurance, but I love being a business owner and really helping my clients understand how to determine what they need from an insurance standpoint, but also paying the proper rate. Giving service to something is the only thing that we can really do to differentiate myself from the other agents down the street. So we strive for giving great service, connecting with great companies like Brightco, and taking care of our people. So I'm excited to chat with you today, Dustin. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Dustin Lemick. I am a third generation jeweler and founder of Brightco. Brightco is a jewelry and watch specific insurance line of business. We write engagement rings, earrings, bracelets, watches, you name it. We write it in the jewelry and watch realm. I founded this company really out of personal pain points. You know, I mentioned I was a jeweler in the industry, and I felt pain points. My customers felt pain points. You know, there was just, we felt like there was a lot better way to really write a jewelry product, a jewelry insurance product. And, you know, we felt like technology could really assist in the process. And we just felt like there had to be a better way. There were too many pain points. Jewelry insurance should not be difficult to buy. We made it much easier, much faster, painless. You know, with Brightco, you go online, you can get a policy in 2 minutes, you get a quote in 30 seconds, you know, no hassle. Yeah. So that's really what prompted me to start Brightco. And like I mentioned, I was born and raised in the jewelry world.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do a format that's a little bit unique. It's going to be fun. So we're going to kind of interview each other. That's my plan. So I'm going to ask you a question, and then you're going to ask me a question, because I want to know what it's like sitting in your chair, how you've done what you've done at Brightco, why you've done it, what pain points have you covered, what are you seeing, and then I want you to ask me questions about what it's like in my chair, being in the field, dealing with clients, especially in a more challenging climate that we've been in. This is an interesting cycle, and so I think this is a good time to have this conversation. So I'll go first. Okay. So you mentioned just before that you have seen the pain points, you know, from being inside behind the curtain in, you know, in the jewelry world. You know, what were some of
the bigger pain points, and, you know, how did you tackle solving those with Brightcove?
So with jewelry and watch insurance, I noticed a handful of different pain points and misconceptions. So the first, most glaring, was that there's a misconception that jewelry insurance is expensive. It's really not. It's super valuable and it's super affordable for a really precious item. And so, you know, at Brightco, we are pricing, it ranges from 0.5% to 1.5% typically of the total value of the item. I mean, that's tremendous value. So that's one misconception, is that it's too expensive. Another misconception is that folks think they're properly covered. Like, folks think like, oh, just my regular homeowner's policy covers my $15,000 engagement ring. You know, of course, I'll caveat, but it all depends. But typically, you are not getting proper coverage. And, you know, and there's a lot of times very limited coverage and limited scope in terms of like, in terms of covering the full amount of the item. So I would say, you know, coverage misconceptions, price misconceptions, and then also something that we solved for that was a real problem, not a misconception, was just that it was previously difficult to buy or somewhat difficult to buy. It is not difficult to buy anymore. So another misconception is that it's just kind of like all insurance, kind of, this is a misconception for pretty much the whole industry, is that it's just a difficult, painstaking process. With Brightco, it is not a difficult, painstaking process to buy jewelry insurance. It's like, it's 30 seconds to get a quote online. It is 2 minutes to get a policy. And if you, it's the same thing for agents and brokers. It's the same type of technology that we built. And everything's tech assisted.
Yeah, it's almost like going to Amazon and buying a book. Like, you guys have made it like that easy, right? And so like, it's awesome. And it was really needed. You know, I think our industry is built on this legacy tech that's hard to enhance, and it's hard to change because it's so expensive, you know, from a company standpoint, these large, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies, to change the infrastructure. From what I understand, I'm not behind that curve, but I've been told, you know, it's billions of dollars to be like, all right, we're going to go from this, you know, Windows 95 system, you know, to where it needs to be today. It's something that you guys have done. So you guys have been able to do it, you know, in a kind of a silo, because you were able to build it from scratch, which is great, you know? So thank you for doing that.
Yes, of course. I mean, you're 100% accurate. Like, one of the big advantages for Brightco is we built our program, we built our technology, we built our company from the ground up. So we were not bogged down by any legacy technology. So a lot of the older legacy insurance companies, as you mentioned, they have, you know, decades of technology debt built up, which means that they're basically stuck in the mud. And what happens is it just becomes really convoluted, and it becomes nearly impossible to pivot out of these old technology systems. And what does that mean? Well, ultimately, that means the consumer suffers in multiple ways. So with legacy carriers carrying all of this legacy technology debt, it means that consumers hurt. It means that it's a poor customer experience, and it also means that it's more expensive. And so it costs more money for these carriers to upkeep this technology, more human intervention, more human underwriting, all of those things. And that is ultimately what gives Brightco a huge advantage, that we can pass on all of those savings directly to the consumer.
Sure. Yeah, very good. All right, what do you got for me?
Okay, let's see what I have for you. What are the challenges that you're seeing insurance agents face in today's environment?
Well, there are a few, Dustin. Yeah, the insurance industry right now is very challenging. And, you know, I think it was kind of born out of COVID. And what happened with COVID put us down this path that led to inflation, you know. And so, and during COVID, you know, there were supply chain issues and there are a lot of things. So our product, you know, is priced based on a number of risk factors. Of course, we have to rate each individual risk as best we can, but then it's also based on what this stuff costs to fix. So like insurance companies fix homes, you know, cars, you know, property and people, you know, like we pay medical bills and we pay, you know, bills to fix homes and bills to fix cars. So, I mean, if you've seen what's happened with the cost of health insurance and healthcare costs over the past 10 years, it's been incredible. The cost to fix homes has gotten incredibly more expensive with inflation. You know, the average cost of a new car, I just ran this recently, is over, or a used car is over $30,000. And so when you're talking about what it costs to replace, say, a windshield for a car. We just replaced a windshield for a car that was $1,124 for a windshield. Okay. 5 years ago, this might have been $500 or $600. And when insurance companies are replacing thousands of these, you know, every year, tens of thousands every year, you know, the costs go up. Same with homes. When you've got a pipe burst and we have to dry out the floor and change out some of the drywall and change some flooring and replace that, where in the past that might have been $8,000 or $9,000, now it's, you know, 18 to 20. So they're like, the insurance companies have to have enough money in the bank, you know, to pay all these claims. And so what's happening is there's only a few ways to do that. They either stop writing, which has happened in different parts of the country. You know, there are companies that don't write insurance anymore in certain parts of the country, Florida, California, right? You know, or we have to charge more or take rates is what they like to say, but that has caused some increased premiums all over the country. And increased premiums isn't an irregularity. We were used to taking 2 to 5% a year, not 40. Okay. So when you're seeing 40 or 50% increases for a couple of years in a row, it's shocking to us in the industry because we're not used to that, because now, and our clients aren't used to that either. So we're playing a little bit more defense and trying to make sure that our customers are taken care of and that they're getting the most out of their money. And for folks that are on fixed income, it's very challenging. And so that's what we're seeing right now.
Matt, so with the rising replacement costs that you just detailed, are incident rates and claim rates also subsequently increasing? That's kind of layering the problem on top of supply chain issues and supply costs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not privy to the data, but I would tell you that I haven't seen an increase in like overall claims. I think the insurance companies would like to reduce those, which is why, you know, we're encouraging people to raise their deductibles. You know, insurance isn't for like the small, I got a hole in my wall or I have a burn in my carpet or something like that. It's for when the wall falls down, right? It's like insurance, especially for homeowners insurance. Like, you know, we have a weird product, Dustin, where like you have to have it, but you never want to use it. And nobody wants to file a claim because they lost a ring. Nobody wants to file a claim because they're in an auto accident. It's but they have to have it. But the frequency of claims, insurance companies are paying more attention to, where, you know, if you have two claims in a 3-year period, you know, a carrier may cancel your policy or non-renew you in insurance speak. And so we're trying to help clients make the best decision on when to file a claim. But the one thing that there has been an increase in is catastrophic losses, which are measured by a singular event that is over $25 million. So, you know, forest fire, tornadoes, you know, hurricanes. And there has been a very, very large increase in frequency in those in our country over the past 2 years. And those are big events. They're a lot of money. And when you have entire towns that are burning up, like we haven't seen stuff like that before. Like Paradise, California, Lahaina, like these are different types of losses that we're used to. And so, again, the insurance companies have to have enough money in the bank to pay this stuff. And then we could get into reinsurance, which is what insurance companies buy insurance too. It's called reinsurance. So in the event of a large, large loss, we have somewhere else to go. Well, the cost of reinsurance has gone through the roof. And so now we have to pay more for our insurance. It's really, so it's this, you know, snowball effect. And so that's what I've seen for my share. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's this layering effect that's happening where you have supply chain issues and costs going up quite a bit. You have, you know, a drastic increase in catastrophic risk. And then on top of it, in certain states, you have this sort of like explosion of litigation against insurance companies that is really also raising costs to insurance companies. And when you layer the cake, all of a sudden, what that ends up meaning at the end of the day is the consumer is paying 40, 50, 60% more insurance because of this cake layering effect. And so it's just, you know, I encourage agents, brokers, and consumers to really be educated about the options out there. And we talk a lot about it because when you can sort of debundle and you can sort of buy best in class, that also means reducing cost for the policyholder. I mean, those are wins. Those are the things that I think that we all need to be looking at, which is like, okay, so homeowners rates are going up by 40, 50%. How do we try to mitigate that as much as possible? Can we debundle things? Can we buy, you know, jewelry insurance? Can we buy art? Can we separate the home and the auto? But you know, how do you put together the package in a most cost-effective way for the policyholder to try to fight against what's going on in the industry? And those are the things I think that are really interesting and that could be helpful ultimately to the end user.
Sure. So how do you guys, you know, work with your pricing? How have you managed to keep your pricing so competitive? Because you're not the only game in town, right? There are different companies like yours. How do you guys at Brightco, you know, keep your pricing so competitive?
So our pricing is incredibly competitive. I mean, we in a lot of cases can be dramatically less than our competitors. And the natural question is why and how. The how is really that we are not bogged down by any legacy technology, which means that our costs are way, way lower than any of our competitors in this line of business. And so I can give you an example. You know, we have a lot of our underwriting is fully automated through technology. And, you know, that is just massive cost reduction versus, you know, competitors who have, you know, droves and droves and droves of underwriters who are looking at every single piece of every single application that comes in. We have a very automated process and a very streamlined process. So the first place I would start is like, our technology is just best in class. And what that ultimately means is like incredibly efficient underwriting, and, you know, customer service is super efficient, and ultimately claims are very efficient. And so it allows us to really run a really lean program, and we basically pass all of the costs, this cost savings, to our policyholders. And that's ultimately our huge advantage. And you know, we also have a lot of deep, deep industry knowledge. You know, I mentioned that I came from the jewelry world. And we have 4 graduate gemologists, GGs, on staff. So we have like also really deep knowledge in terms of providing a great customer experience, but also understanding the business really well from both sides, from the insurance side and also from the jewelry side. And that gives us some very clear advantages as well.
Awesome. Well, that makes sense. I'm curious. Like, what's your loss ratio?
So we don't publicly state our loss ratio, though it's a very interesting question. I will tell you that we are running best in class program. Like, we are really running something that's pretty special, I would say. You know, we've been in the market since 2019, and we've really starting to get to a, you know, quote unquote seasoned book level, where the book is decently seasoned. And so we have really credible data now, but it's the program's running really, really well.
Yeah. And I would imagine that's obviously, you know, main factor in keeping your pricing competitive, you know, like that's, if you've, and you, I don't know, have you guys ever lowered, I'm just curious, have you guys ever lowered rates, or is that something that could happen in the future if your loss ratio remains really low? Like, can you pass those savings on to clients? You know, I don't.
We could potentially, yeah, of course you could. We are, so like, our product in the market right now is so low in comparison to all of our competitors. I mean, you're talking like we could be 60% lower than our, I mean, that is drastic. So we feel like we not only have the best in class product in terms of coverage, and we offer amazing coverage, but also, like, when you can save 60 to 70%, it's sort of a no-brainer. So that's sort of the holistic view that we take. And again, and I mean, a lot of this goes back to like excellence in underwriting, and also, you know, truly leveraging state-of-the-art technology.
Pricing is something that just fascinates me, just as a consumer, and I'm like, and as a business owner too, it's a conversation that I just enjoy having. Because you don't want to, like, there was a period of time where my company had pricing on home, like, we refreshed our homeowners policy, and it was so low. It was great. Like, we sold it like hotcakes, you know, but the company was like, whoa, like, this is too low. And even when they brought it up 30 or 40%, it was still radically competitive. So it's always interesting to me to, cause I'm not behind that curtain. I'm not an actuary. I don't get to see how that stuff works. They only release so much data to us. We do get to see loss ratios and stuff, and it's a way we can help our customers understand why our pricing is doing what it's doing. You know, so when our loss ratio is higher, we can sit down and be like, well, we're paying out $1.10 for every dollar that we're bringing in. You know, that's why our pricing has to go up. When it goes down, you know, if it's ever at a point, if we're paying out 80 cents for every dollar that's coming in, you know, we can keep rates more stable and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's always interesting to me. So
I could tell you on a side note, Matt, like, I think pricing's fascinating as well. Like, when you're dealing with pricing an insurance product, it can be a very, very fine line, and small changes can have very large impacts.
Sure.
In ways that you can always game out actuarial, like with your actuarial tables and actuarially, like, but it's a, this is one of the things I've learned. It's a very fine line. So you could say, all right, we're going to change the, and all of a sudden you can make small tweaks that can seriously have very large impacts. And like, all of a sudden you're priced in a particular band in conjunction with some of your other underwriting factors, and all of a sudden it opens up a pipeline, and that might be a very unprofitable pipeline that you're opening up, and you're not adequately priced for that.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you've taken a very positively performing book, and it's flipped itself on its head. So it's a very fine line. It's a tightrope walk that you need to do. That is ultimately why we are really comfortable where we're at, because it's like we've sort of unlocked, and we feel like there's a sweet spot, and you want to be living in that sweet spot. And so definitely, we feel like,
one of my first district managers told me, I never forgot it, said, whatever insurance company prices the best, and that's a vague statement, but prices properly will win. And like, it's a real simple statement, and I never forgot it. Now, I don't even, like I couldn't fully understand how do you price properly, but that's kind of what we're talking about right now. It's like whatever company prices properly will win. I was like, I never forgot that. I thought that was a good statement.
Actuaries live by that.
I know. And it's an imperfect science, obviously. We have all this, we're living in the age of big data, you know, and we're still like nobody could have predicted what happened in the past 3 years. Like nobody. That's why we're taking 40 or 50% rate, you know, as an industry, because nobody knew that inflation, you know, we were going to hit by a worldwide pandemic. There were going to be the problems that we had that led to inflation. And so the actuaries were probably like, damn, like we couldn't have seen that coming, you know? So it's interesting.
So let me ask you this question, Matt. So in your experience, why are agents debundling for their policyholders?
I think the agents that are able to debundle, and to be clear, depending on what kind of agent that you are, you may or may not be able to debundle. You know, depending on the contract that you have, there are some companies that won't allow you to debundle because they want you staying in this sandbox. And that's the contract that you sign, and that's the company that you're with, and that's the way it goes. So they're captive and they're independent. And then there are other companies where if a company doesn't accept a specific kind of risk and they decline that risk, they allow you to go write it outside. So depending on what box you're in, you know, and you're allowed to debundle, I mean, I can see a number of factors. One, you mentioned it earlier, like from a pricing standpoint, if those agents have the ability to lower premium in any household that is really been impacted by the premiums that are increasing so greatly over the past few years, if we can offer any kind of relief, the clients just have this big sigh of relief. They're like, thank you. We'll take what we can get. Like if you can save us a few $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is, like they're looking for any kind of relief. And when I do a review with my clients, we can almost always find 10%, 15%, 20% just by coming in and playing with deductibles. Maybe they have a coverage that they don't need anymore. You know, maybe they have a new roof and that's a new discount or something like that. Or in this case, maybe we can slide their jewelry, you know, to Brightco, and maybe that saves them. So people are starving for any kind of relief that they can find them. So this is just another tool to have when it comes to helping some find pricing relief. Okay. The other thing that I love about what Brightco does is that it doesn't report to Clue when there's a claim. I mentioned it earlier, but a claim on a homeowner's policy can be very impactful to future pricing. Okay, so the company that you're with could and will, on a chargeable claim, raise your premiums. And it could be, and they raise it not just for 1 year, they might raise it for 3 years or 5 years. So if you catch a 20 or 25% rate increase on a $2,000 premium, you know, homeowner's policy, what is that? It might go up $500 for 4 or 5 years, which is an extra $2,000 in premium that they're going to pay over that period of time. So if their jewelry is with Brightco and there's a loss, it will not impact their homeowner's policy, which in the scenario that I just told you, will save them $2,000, okay, in premium increase. So that's a win-win, you know. So it makes the agent look like the hero, and you guys do what you do, which is give great service and get them their jewelry fixed or replaced, and they do it in the most cost-effective way. So I think those are the two things that really are the most, you know, impactful for debundling. Also, they get a great best-in-class service. You know, if they go with Brightco from a claim standpoint, you guys kill it there. So, you know, it's really seamless, it's quick, and not that other insurance companies don't have great claim service, but you guys absolutely do. So so from a customer service standpoint, you know, they're winning on that side too, because that's all you guys do, that's it, you know. So you've got it dialed in. So, you know how to take care of clients when it comes to a claim. So, you know, those are the three big ones, you know, savings in price, keeping their homeowner's policy clean from a claim standpoint, you know, and then you guys just killing it with service. So I think those are the ways that, and then the other thing too, it wouldn't even be debundling, but like I said, for those agents that are in a company that can place things outside because of a decline. So it's a huge benefit to go with a great company like Brightco. Like, we don't have to guess, gosh, I wonder if this company's any good, or we've never used them before. Like, you guys have everything dialed in. So agents can be really comfortable if there is a decline and they got to put, like some companies won't write pieces of jewelry or a total amount of jewelry over, say, $100,000. Maybe they cap at $100,000. And maybe this household has $200,000 for the coverage that they want. You know, they would slide it over to Brightco and they would know they're going with like best in class. The pricing is good. And like, you're doing them a really big favor, you know, and you're doing your job as an agency owner in making sure that they're covered properly for the right premium. So, you know, those are all the benefits that you can get when you've got like Brightco in your corner. So yeah,
those are really nice. Those are great points. And that you hit on a handful of really, really good points. And then, you know, Brightco also has really generous limits. You know, Brightco goes up to $250,000 per item and $750,000 per schedule. To your point, there's a lot of insurance carriers out there that have pretty limited limits. And so Brightco is a great supplement when it comes to, if you're looking to write higher limit coverage and looking for higher limit policy, you know, going to $250,000 per item and $750,000 per schedule is a huge benefit.
Yeah. Did you guys just increase your number?
We just increased it. Yeah. We're literally just increased it. We're making all these, you know, rounding corners, you know, trying to keep pushing the ball to keep this best in class product as good as we possibly can. So yeah, we just got approval to increase those limits.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we have some agent broker partners that write some really large policies, and they love breaking out the jewelry piece. I mean, it's because some of these are very, very big schedules. And we'll write those all day long.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to ask you, one thing that agents have had, some agents with companies have had to endure, are commission cuts. Like, one of the ways that they're trying to control costs is cutting agent commissions. So they may go from 10% to 9%, or, you know, 15% to 13%. And so that's something that some agents have to endure with whatever company they're with. How do you guys pay your agents, and, you know, what's your commission structure look like, and how do you take care of them that way?
So our commission structure for agents is our philosophy for our commission structure for agents is simple, you know, leveraging everything we can offer. But really we go for like a very straightforward approach. And so we do 12% on new business, and then we do 12% on renewal business, flat 12% across the board. We feel like that's sort of the sweet spot. And then also, if you pair that with, okay, and this is really easy to use and it's going to be a huge value add, it's sort of a no-brainer, we think. So yeah, it's 12% straight across the board.
Yeah, 12%. That's a healthy number in our world. You know, 10% is kind of like middle of the road at average. Anything over 10%, agents kind of are like, all right, that's cool. Anything under 10%, we're like, well, all right. But 12%, that's a healthy number for sure. So that's awesome. What kind of things do you do to help our lives easier when it comes to retaining customers, or like, you know, through the renewal process or something like that? Do you guys have something that make us look good, you know, help us out a little bit?
Absolutely, we do. So Brightco, we are experts in the jewelry space and the insurance space. one of the things that we do is we have built algorithms and leveraging our technology to reprice items every year. So I'll give you an example. If a customer has, you know, an engagement ring and a wedding band and a pair of stud earrings, and that policyholder, the center stone on the engagement ring, it goes up, diamonds go up in 2024 and it goes up 5%. We will actually identify that for the agent and say, and for the policyholder and say, look, you know, this is the exact amount, or 3% or 2%, whatever it is. And we will recommend increasing coverage for that. But this is all automated, right? So it's not like some manual process. And it's also not some random escalator that just, you know, continually, so which our competitors do, and that gets really, really out of whack. And of course, if the coverage is current and up to date and priced appropriately, like, you know, we recommend just leaving. So we do things like that through our technology. You know, we don't really require ever to have reappraisals. A lot of our competitors will say every 2 to 4 years, your customers have to go back and the policyholders have to go back and get new paperwork and all of these things. Based on our technology, most of the time they do that because they need to update the price. You know, these prices, diamond markets move just like any other market, and yeah, they fluctuate a lot. And so we don't require that because we know the prices through our technology. And so there's a lot of things like that that are just super value add for agents and brokers that no one else in the industry does for this line of business.
Yeah, that's great. I could think of, there are some companies like on the commercial side, when we do property insurance, like when we insure a commercial building, they will do like an automatic 3% roll on just every year for property or even for contents inside. And it's just, it's a flat increase, kind of a COLA, cost of living or whatever increase. And you know, it's not perfect. You know, what if things are steady for 3 or 4 years and now all of a sudden we're over insuring, you know, your building or your contents because there haven't been increases? What if the housing market goes down? You know, so I think I like that, how specific that you are with the way that you increase, because you're doing it at a granular level, which is just smart and great. That way, you know, that they're covered properly. So does the agent have to, so will we get like an alert, like upon renewal or something, that says, hey, the Joneses engagement ring, you have it covered for $17,000. We're recommending it go to, you know, 18.5. Does that hit our mailbox? Does it hit the customer's mailbox? Like, how do we know that that is being suggested? And is it just like an approve or disapprove or disprove or decline? How does that actually work?
So I will caveat this by, usually it's relatively small, at least from what we've seen so far. I can't predict the future, where prices go in the future, but so far in the last 5 years, it's been relatively small. We will, upon renewal, exactly right, upon renewal, we will notify the customer, we'll notify the agent, and it's an opt-out type policy. So we'll just say, hey, this is what your new premium will be, this is what your new appraisal amount will be. And we'll leave it at that, unless somebody comes back and says, no, I don't want to, for whatever reason, which we've literally never seen, not once. That's generally like sort of the high level approach of how we take it. And you're right though, like there's actually a rhyme and a reason for it. And if you think about these like auto escalators that are fixed 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever that is, very, very quickly, prices can get very out of whack. Sure. And if you're saying like, hey, I'm trying to save my policyholder money when like the premiums are going up 40% like overnight. Well, okay, these 3% annual escalators really, really can add up for a customer. Like, so being exact is important. I mean, to that's the ultimate goal. And a lot of times there's some savings there as well. Versus
definitely
the alternative.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys just do everything right, don't you? You got it all figured out.
We try. I mean, we try. We're always. I mean, the key, Matt, is like we never rest. Like we're never content. We're always trying to push the ball harder and try to continually bring the best in class product to the market, whether that's increasing limits or it continue to improve our technology. We believe that if you don't do those things, you end up in the same bucket as everyone else. And you end up with out of date technology and really inefficient process and all of these things that we've seen in the industry that's causing all these problems. You know, we are trying to do things much different than that.
Yeah, that's great. I think I've mentioned it before with you, but like, I love the insurtech space because it's been so necessary for so long, you know, having, you know, forward thinkers like yourself come out with stuff like, it's nice to have out there and available to us and to use. And it's a breath of fresh air. So thanks for doing all of that. Appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Of course, man. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Let's look at some of these other questions here. Let's ask this one, this customer service one. Okay. So Matt, what role does customer service play in a client's experience with an insurance provider like Brightco?
I mean, I say that, you know, people buy insurance or shop their insurance for one of three reasons. Generally, when I'm getting into a conversation with a client and they've agreed to allow me to quote them, I always ask, I'm like, what has you shopping today? And the answer is usually one of three things, right? It's price. Price is going to be, you know, a consideration in anything, any purchasing that we do as a consumer, right? So price is one, customer service is the other one, you know, and then coverage is the third one. Like those are the three things in our world that are most important to our clients. From an agent standpoint, for the most part, like I can only control one of those things. And, you know, it's the customer service. I can't control my product. You know, I don't have any control over my product. I don't have any control over my pricing either. You know, so if you're a broker, you might have a little bit more control over your pricing because you can shop your stuff all over the place. If you're captive, you have no control over your pricing, you know, or necessarily your product. So the only thing that those folks can do, especially on the captive side, is they have to kill it from a customer service standpoint because we're not always going to have the most competitive price. I mean, that's impossible, right? And so you have to make yourself worthy of your client sometimes paying more, you know? And so what do I provide to my clients that are willing to pay more? And so that's the work that I think the good agents have to put forth to earn business. I mean, like, you have to show that you're worth more money, you know? So from a customer service standpoint, we have to be able to, and Dustin, it's funny because sometimes it's not hard. Like we just have to return calls. I can't tell you how many clients I've sat in front of or prospects and I say, why are you shopping? They're like, well, my agent never calls me back. I heard that so many times early in my career, you know, that I vowed to just never be that agent. Like how silly is that? Okay. Like how could you not call these people back? Even if you're going to be staring down a tough conversation, you know, we're business owners. Like we have to, those conversations are going to come. You have to practice them. You got to get used to them. You got to have some thick skin and stuff like that, but you got to call your people back. So, and then on top of that, you just got to be there for them, you know, and in the claims process, there have been times, one of my favorite things to do as an agent is to take a claim that's been denied and get involved and then get it approved. And that's happened a number of times in my career where I've worked with the underwriters and the clients, because our contracts, you know, as specifically as they're written, you know, there's still a tiny bit of gray area where you can maneuver around. And if you can isolate that, you can turn a decline into an approve. And that's where I really have been able to prove my worth. You know what I mean? So we helped a client just recently who had a $10,000 claim denied, a commercial client. And I don't know why it was declined. So we got involved and we got it approved. And so we wound up putting $10,000 back in this client's pocket. That's real money, you know, that's going back to these clients and things like that. And so is someone willing to pay a few hundred dollars more a year for that kind of service? That's what we work so hard to do. So from a customer service standpoint, you know, like I said, it's one of the only things that we can control as an agency owners. And if we can align with a company like Brightco that just knocks it out of the park every time, it makes us look good because we know you guys are going to take care of people, but you also work really well with agents so that if something does happen on the claim side, I know that I'd be able to talk to, you know, a claims underwriter, have a fruitful discussion with them, make sure that there's an understanding of why the decision is going to be made, make sure that all the information is given to both sides and that at the end, you know, the proper decision is being made. So being able to communicate with our underwriters and our companies, I have learned, has been really important. I have to be able to talk, you know, to you guys in the event of there's a discrepancy or the customer isn't understanding. And so having you guys be so readily available and open to having those conversations is huge for us, because being an agent is tricky. We're kind of on the fence. Like I will always back my client, but I also have to back the company. And so so I really have to try and identify like the actual truth. Like that's what my job is when we're talking about claims. And if it's a straight denial and like the contract, there's no wiggle room, I will help the company explain it to my clients. You know what I mean? But I have to have that conversation with the company. I'm like, tell me exactly how this works and tell me the best way to say it. And I'll ask questions because one of my strengths is making things simple. Our product and our world isn't bathed in simplification. Okay. So like what I do really well is I can break down something complicated, make it easy for my client to understand. And so I will gather intel from underwriters, boil it down and translate it into street language so that they can understand it. And 9 times out of 10, the customer's like, okay, well, that makes sense. And so from a customer service standpoint, being able to align with a company that's open to having conversations with agents and having an open dialogue is really important. So I guess that's how I'd answer that question. How's that? Does that make sense?
That's great. No, it's great. Killing it.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more. Let's see.
Yeah. This is like a layup one, but the second one, the insurance differentiation for agents, I mean, that's a layup, but they're all layups.
Yeah. Do you want to do that one, or do you want to do like, what kind of feedback have you got from consumers? I'll let you pick.
Yeah, let's do feedback. I'm good with that.
All right. All right. So you've been in business, what, since 2019? Are you in your fifth year? Is that right?
So Brightco's been in business technically since 2017, but we brought the first product to market in 2019.
Okay. So what's been your feedback from customers? You guys have been at it for a while. I'm sure the first year or two was kind of a blitz and a blur, you know, trying to figure out all the right things. You've had time to really turn the screws on things. And what kind of feedback are you hearing from your customers now that you've really, you know, got things clicking?
We've heard phenomenal feedback from customers and from policyholders and from our partners as well. You know, we felt like when we approached this market, as we were building Brightco and building our product, that there was a huge gap in the market. And when we brought our product to market, it basically proved out true that there was a gap in the market and that there was a need and a market opportunity and a desire for sort of a digitally native jewelry insurance company like Brightco, and that made everything much easier and, you know, instant decisions and all of the things that we've talked about, automation and technology. And customers not only appreciate that today, they expect it. And so we are getting, and it's very stark difference versus what the alternative would look like for our line of business. And it was, that amounts to getting excellent customer feedback, you know, really high NPS scores, things like that, that you just typically don't see in the insurance space. I know there that customer service and customer expectation and all of those kinds of things are challenging for a lot of insurance companies. And I don't want to say that any of it's easy. None of it is easy. It's all very, you know, intentional and time consuming kind of things, but very worthwhile to put that extra effort into your service, your product. And ultimately what that means is, you know, amazing reviews. You know, I'm really proud of like our Google reviews. You know, we have thousands of hundreds and thousands of five-star reviews. And I mean, that to me says everything that needs to be said. And the reviews are all very similar in terms of like incredibly easy, unbelievable price, you know, great team, great service, was able to answer all my questions, could get somebody on the phone, you know, like we pride ourselves in all of those things. So the customer feedback has been like A plus exceptional. I'm really, really happy with the service and the product that we're providing, but I'm very, very, also very, very happy with the feedback we're getting from customers.
That's great. I think one thing that's that we have to remind ourselves once in a while in this industry is that when we have to be there for our clients on some pretty dark days, you know, like the only reason that people are using the product that they purchased from us is because something bad just happened. You know, it can, you know, it can be a fire, it can be a bad car accident, you know, it can be the loss of a family heirloom or, you know, a stone in their ring, and it can be, you know, very stressful. You know, it can be a day that they might never forget. They might never forget that specific day. But this is the world that we live in. Like, we see this stuff every day. And it's so, it's kind of normalized because, like, this is what we do. But it's not normal to the people that are going through it. And, like, we have to remind ourselves of that. That's the time that we have to show up. It can't be cavalier, right? It can't be, like, that's the time where we prove our worth. And you can earn a lifetime client by just doing what you're supposed to do, you know, on a claim. And so I think it's an important reminder. Like, I remind my team that once in a while. I remind the other agents that I work with, like we are there on some of our clients' worst days. And we want that. I mean, we have the chance to be the bright light or the hero, you know, in that story that God, and what you guys do is no different. Like, you're ensuring some very important things for a lot of people, things that they want to have forever, things they want to pass down to their children or something like that. And so, you know, what we do is important, and sometimes it just feels like work to us, like a regular day, but it's not to the people that we're taking care of. And so, you know, for the companies that take claims really, really important, you know, that they really put an effort behind making sure the claims are done properly and with empathy and care, you know, it's, and a claims adjuster's job, forget it, is hard. Like, they're in the muck. Like, everyone they deal with is, so like, because the claim has been filed, you know? And so I really feel for those people because it's a lot, you know, it's a lot that they have to deal with. So if you can just keep your eye on the prize and remind people like, this is what we do, you know, you got to build yourself up sometimes every day. But it's an important reminder. I think we need to hear that once in a while.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. The empathy piece of it rings very true for me, is just kind of approaching situations with full empathy and really taking the customer's side on everything and just being that advocate, you know, for the customer, which you do, which we do, any stakeholder in this industry ultimately needs to take the customer, be a customer policyholder's advocate. And if you can do that and you can do that with empathy, you're going to win. And that's just where the rubber meets the road. And also, I mean, the claims, the moment of a claim is the single most important moment for an insurance company with the relationship with their policyholder, or an agent and their relationship with their policyholder. That is the single most important moment in the entire life cycle of the relationship. And it's critically important that at that moment that you show up and do what you're supposed to do. And not just that, but hopefully go above and beyond and really do what you're supposed to do, but prove that you're even more than that, and that you can spin, you know, a negative, poor situation that is a claim into something that is not so bad, right? And like, that is the way we look at our job here at Brightco from a claims perspective.
Yeah, amazing. All right.
Look, I think we killed it. Like,
I think we did
stuff there.
I gotta hop on a 10. I gotta hop on a call right now. So
yes.
This is great. Thank you so much. I'll get this to your team and we'll go from there.
Matt, cheers, man. Thank you.
Man, it's good to see you. Take it easy, buddy. All right,
bye.
Man. Bye. All right, there you go. Hey again, my name is Matt. This is Simply Explaining Insurance. Hey, if you want to get appointed with Brightco and sell their product, which you should do, go to bright.co/MattDeets. And get appointed, just like everything else in their process. It's super easy. It might take you 100 seconds. So go ahead, bright.co/MattDeets. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and keep up the good work.